direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
Welcome to The Superiority Complex, everyone, where we have daddy issues.
Yep.
We just found out seconds before coming to air that we have daddy issues. And speaking of daddy issues, we've lost a great one. Everybody's favorite James Bond.
Roger Moore was one.
Roger Moore passed away yesterday at the age of 89. John, don't give me that sideways look.
Okay, but wait. The first James Bond movie I ever saw was Man with the Golden Gun.
That's the first one I saw.
And I loved it.
I saw it in the theater, yeah.
Well, I didn't see it in theaters.
You know, but, weren't you a zygote?
Yeah.
You were sitting right next to me.
Yeah, no, a twinkle. But that was the first James Bond movie I ever saw, and I loved it. And then I saw, you know, a bunch of the other ones, and then we got into the newer James Bond.
Yeah, I saw it, I dug it, and then I saw Goldfinger and Dr. No, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, okay. But you wanted that flying car, right?
I wanted his girlfriend.
Oh,
damn.
Mary Goodnight.
Holly Goodbody.
The third nipple.
Now, let's introduce the cast before we talk about the greatest Bond ever. This is going to be Justine is here with us today.
Who?
What up?
She's the new James Bond villain.
Patrick is here today.
Hi, everybody.
Jake is here today.
What up?
And John is here today.
Thank you very much.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Superiority Complex.
Wait, who's that voice?
Where we talk about, it's me, it's a me.
It's a me, Mario.
We talk about issues, nerd issues, geek issues.
What's concerning our geeks?
And today, we have so many issues we need to tiss you, because we are mourning the death, of course, of Sir Roger Moore. Who passed away as we were recording this. It was yesterday.
Yeah.
At the age of 89 years old. So,
but at least, you know, he wasn't
let's
young.
Let the host talk for a second.
All right.
Jeez. Now you see.
Jeez. Forget it.
What did I just say?
let's just leave. I think we're not
I know. Going it's Mario's show.
I'm trying to get over this cough right now, so please bear with me. What were you going to say, Patrick?
Nope.
Now you couldn't drag it out of him.
You were saying at
least... Fuck it.
I wouldn't tell you if you got down on your rotten hands and knees and begged me.
Okay. It's not going to come to that, so don't worry.
Damn, John. Damn.
89 years old.
Wow.
Lost a battle with cancer.
Yeah,
and by all accounts, was the absolute nicest person in the world.
You always hear that, yeah.
I've heard that as well.
Somebody shared a story on Twitter yesterday. I don't know if any of you read it. It was a young man, when he was 7 years old, he saw Roger Moore at an airport in Nice, France, and he was waiting for a flight, and he was just sitting there reading the paper, and he told his grandfather, there's James Bond, I want to get his autograph. Well, his grandfather doesn't know who James Bond is, and just takes him over there and says, okay, he says, my grandson says you're famous, would you please sign this for him? So he signs the back of an airplane ticket, and thank you, and walks off. Little boy reads it, it says Roger Moore. And he says, he signed the wrong name. He signed the wrong name. So the grandfather takes him back and says,
wow.
You know, my grandson says that you're James Bond and you signed the wrong name. And he said that Roger Moore, they called him over and got real close and he said, look, I have to sign my name, Roger Moore. He's like, that's my alias. He said, if Blofeld finds out he was here, it could be very dangerous. So please don't tell anyone. Just keep it a secret between
you. That's too cool.
So he said, like, this kid was just, he's like, so his grandpa said, did he sign the wrong name? He said, no, grandpa, I'm working with James Bond. So the lovely postscript to it
was,
years later, this guy's working.
I've joined MI6.
And he was, I guess, Roger Moore was an ambassador for UNICEF.
Yes.
And this guy was working for a company that was doing, like, they were doing a promo video. And so there's Roger Moore, and they're in between takes, and he goes over to him, and he says, while they're setting up, you know, the cameraman and all, they're setting up, and he says, I just want you to know, when I was 7 years old, you know, this happened to me. He said, Roger Moore said, you know, I'm sorry I don't remember, but he just laughed. He said, I'm glad that I was, you know, I'm glad that I was nice to you. So they're getting ready to leave and, you know, packing up and everything, and then on the way out to his car, Roger Moore said, of course I remember you, but I don't know if those cameramen in there are working for Blofeld or not. And he walks up and he says that he just got, he said at 30 years old, he got the same feeling he did when he was seven.
Oh,
that
man.
He just kind of told him that and walked off to his car. Like, tell me that is not the best.
You gotta love him. You gotta
too
love
awesome.
Him.
Too
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
so
shoot.
That's so nice.
So yeah, you know what? I do agree. He is the best James Bond.
Well, he was my first.
On the basis of that story,
he was your first. He was my first.
Oddly
enough, he was my first. Yeah,
But that's because he was James Bond for so long. Did seven
James Bond
movies.
Gets around.
He did it the most. You know, it's the most movies.
You know, like a decade and a half, he was James Bond.
Yeah, for an entire generation, that is James Bond.
Yeah. And I didn't really go back and look at the Connery movies because they weren't really running those on.
They used to run on Channel 7 like every Friday night. Friday night movie, James Bond.
Yeah, but by the time I was a kid, they were already running the new ones.
Okay.
I was like, we don't want the...
Yeah.
So it would be rare that they would run an old...
I gotcha.
So it wasn't until I was a video... I worked at a video store in high school...
Yeah.
...that I went back and rented all of them from the beginning. You know, I got like Leonard Maltin's video guide, and I figured out the chronology of it, which is what you used to do. Back before the internet, unless you're John, that's what you still do.
I swear to God, last night I broke out the Halliwell and cross-referenced it with the Leonard Maltin book.
Did you really?
And Leonard Maltin's going to stop putting them out. He put them out every year since like 73.
No, 2015 was the last one.
That was the last year, and he says, I just can't do it anymore. I can't compete with – anybody can just get on the internet and do it. So
that was a great guy. But I loved we know when you're a kid, those Roger Moore ones are the best.
Well, Live and Let Die is great.
They're gimmicky.
Yeah, Live and Let Die is a good one. Yeah.
As you get older, you realize, oh, these scripts, you know, really they really do a disservice. But through all of the goofy gimmicks and the bad puns, Roger Moore always was kind of classy, elevated,
suave,
very suave, just a handsome dude.
And then you see like the reruns of The Saint and you go, wow, he was always just this classy guy in a tux. You know?
Debonair dude. Like, what else could he do?
I mean, it was obvious that he was the go-to guy, you know, because you see him in The Saint and it almost is James Bond, you know.
And he had kind of had a career before, you know, doing The Saint and regular and different TV shows. He was already well established before he ever became, you know, James Bond. It wasn't like a situation where they kind of pluck a guy like George Lazenby.
Out of obscurity. You know, he was an actor.
Or Timothy Dalton, who was kind of a character and stage actor.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Daniel Craig, who was known for other things.
Right.
You know, this is a guy who was kind of... I think you can compare him to Pierce Brosnan, but I prefer Roger Moore to Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan never seemed to be like he was James Bond. He just seemed like he was
Pierce
Brosnan. Yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan always, I think, felt like everything he did, it was a joke to him.
Well, Roger Moore gets the same rap, but it just depends on who you grew up with.
Yeah. Roger Moore does get the same rap, but I think the movies he did kind of call for that because they are kind of goofy.
Also, I will say that in his defense, what people don't realize is that series got silly before he took it over. Connery was already complaining that stuff like Thunderball was just getting way too silly, where he put together the autogyro and all that out of his
briefcase. Yeah.
And he was already complaining, look, this is getting, you know, with the catchphrases and the silliness and the, you know, the gimmicks. So it was already falling into that. It wasn't like that was brought on by Roger Moore, you know.
I think he got the most gimmicks because I think by the 70s...
That's what worked.
Well, it's also, you noticed during Roger Moore's tenure that it... The series tends to follow whatever trends are happening. So
they're competing with Star Wars.
Yeah, if it's like, okay, we have Moonraker, or you know what I mean. You notice?
Sure, absolutely. He's competing with whatever's going on. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. We have there's a shark movie, so now we have to have a villain named Jaws with steel teeth. How familiar are you? So let's say Justine and Jake with the Roger Moore James Bond at all?
Not at all.
I've never seen one.
Have you seen a James Bond movie?
My first one was Pierce Brosnan one.
And did you like it?
Yeah, it was okay.
I feel like Pierce Brosnan's a bad place to start. That's where my wife started.
That's a bad place.
And she hated it.
I saw that, like one movie of that. Then I saw the one with the new guy.
Yeah, Daniel Craig.
I saw his first one, and then I haven't
Casino
seen
Casino Royale.
Yeah, and that's I haven't
one.
Seen
was
one.
Good, really sharp one.
Skyfall is, I love Skyfall. Yeah. That was a great
And the music was
movie.
Great in Skyfall, too.
Skyfall.
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 Let it crumble.
So, Justine, you're just like, bleh, spies, bleh.
I mean,
espionage. Who needs it?
Cheesy.
And it's for guys. It seems like it's a guy thing.
The only thing I know about
hot women,
James Bond
guns
is the girls' names.
Like what?
Isn't there one called, I don't know how to say it.
What was
Octopussy
it?
Or something?
Octopussy. Yes. Pussy galore.
Octopussy.
See, and I learned all that because Austin Powers was making
That's
fun
right.
of it.
A lot of, like, what was her name? A lot of vagina.
Halata vagina.
I've
eaten nuts. I've on the hump a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of vagina.
A lot of vagina. And I want a company.
And he had gold members. I mean, yes. It's so funny.
Gold member.
But I've never took it very seriously.
Would you like a smoke and a pancake?
Yeah, that's that's waffle? Really where the...
Pong in a bit.
Somebody shoot him now.
Checking a cigarette?
Some warm Ovaltine, perhaps? Nothing, thank you.
I'm seriously trying to figure out which one's his mic. I really am. I need to be able to just have my finger on it.
Just label it.
At all times.
They all got to go.
Justine, say something. Hello? Oh, wrong one.
Get a big red button. Just get a big red button that you can just like mute.
Oh!
There it is.
That's cool. Timing.
We're going to call him, give him the number 4. That's what it's called. Give him the number 4.
Give him the number.
I'm going to have it red X on there.
Hey, you know, he was in that show with Tony Curtis,
get a picture
the Persuaders.
Of me
did you know that?
No, what was the Persuaders,
Sean? Yeah, it was like 60s, 70s. He was in a TV show with Tony Curtis called The Persuaders.
What was it about?
Well, they were Persuaders.
Okay.
No, I think they were like Private Eyes or something, or like the Equalizer. It might have been like the Equalizer where they get them to help people that are in need of assistance. But it was like on Channel 7 or something. So, I want to say it was like 69, 70.
Like the
A-Team.
According to this, it was 71, 72. So he was already doing...
No, he hadn't started James Bond yet. Because Mouth of the Golden Gun is 70... No, Live and Let Die is 73. So that would have been a year before his first James
Bond. Oh, that's right. Because my year, I get the worst James Bond movie ever. My birth year is Diamonds Are Forever. Oh, hate it.
I get the best one, Rush from Russia with Love.
You son of a...
That's a good one.
What do you get? What's your birth year?
91. I don't think there was one.
91 would have been... Brosnan. 89 was License to Kill, and then they took a break.
Oh, I think I'm wrong. I think Dr. No is 62, right?
Wait, Dr.
Yeah,
No.
I don't think I get one. I get a book.
And I was 93, and I don't think
that's
a
fitting.
Bond
I don't get a movie. I get a book.
James Bond was, I think Dr. No was 62.
Okay, so I don't get one. I was like December. I was born in December 61, so I barely got.
What year were you born, Justine?
86. Which one's the one where she comes out with the white bathing suit?
That's
and
the
that's
first
what
one.
Halle Berry's like.
That's the first one, Dr. No.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's Ursula Andress. Yeah.
So when Ursula Andress, am I right, guys?
That's the one. That's the one billionth time somebody has said that.
Because he won't be white after he's done with it.
What year were you born, Justine?
86.
That's gross. What year were you born, Jake?
93.
You guys don't get any.
Yeah, because some years they went like 5-6 years without a James Bond sometimes.
Yeah, between License to Kill and GoldenEye.
GoldenEye was good.
It was 89 to 95.
Good game, too. Good game.
GoldenEye was one of the greatest video games of all time.
One of the best. It was the first group shooter.
It was the first big multiplayer. Yeah. There had been in the past, but it was the first one to really take off.
And they actually added the multiplayer in last minute, and it ended up revolutionizing the whole FPS genre with it.
Oh, my God. That was such a good game.
Yeah.
And was it based on the movie?
Yeah. It was based on the movie, yeah.
That's the one where he's chasing in the tank, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is the one my wife hated that movie. Hated it, but Daniel Craig brought her back because he's easy on the eyes.
Well, they're better movies. Casino Royale is a great movie, and so is Skyfall.
So is Skyfall. Yeah. The only one that kind of drops off is Quantum of Solace.
I would vote that almost the worst James Bond movie of all time. Like right there with View to a Kill, just awful.
Spectre isn't that great either. I was really hoping for
it's
more.
It's too bad because it's Christoph Waltz. You'd think he'd be the best.
I thought it was bad that they tried to make him his brother. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know why that was necessary.
I don't understand.
I don't know. He was too effete.
I like that James Bond because he doesn't talk that much.
Yeah, that's
Daniel
true.
Craig?
Yeah, he doesn't talk that much. Yeah. He's not that... He's, you know, suave, but he's not...
Yeah.
He's the opposite of Roger Moore.
Yeah, he doesn't talk.
Drops the pot.
He's the strong silent. Yeah. And he does less talking.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
John, let me ask you this. Best soundtrack in the Roger Moore era. Best Bond song. So these are your options.
I love Live and Let Die. That's
you
a great
Live and Let Die.
That's a great
You have Man with a Golden Gun.
Yeah, Man with a Golden Gun, that's a great song.
You have Nobody Does It Better by Carly Simon. Nope, John's saying no.
That was a monster hit. Oh, no thanks.
Oh, it was. You got to have Moonraker by Shirley Bassey. Yeah, For Your Eyes Only by Sheena Easton. And then Octopussy was, I think, All Time High by Rita Coolidge. Is that?
Mm-hmm. That sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right.
I think you're right. I think Live and Let Die is definitely the best. But I do have a soft spot in my heart for Nobody Does It Better. Because I think Spy Who Loved Me is my, even though it's got the gimmicks, it's my favorite Roger Moore one. Yeah. And you say Live and Let Die is your favorite Roger Moore one?
Yeah, probably. But the first one I saw was Man with the Golden Gun. But Live and Let Die is probably the best of the Roger Moores.
Now, as a kid, were you already familiar with Christopher Lee?
I knew he was Dracula. When I saw Man with the Golden Gun, Alex and I were like, hey, it's Dracula.
Yeah.
We knew him from all the Hammer
you
films.
Would know him as Saruman.
Or Dracula.
Saruman.
What was he, Scaramanga? In,
Scaramanga.
Francisco Scaramanga.
Mitzio Scaramanga. Oh, Hervé Villechaize.
Yeah.
Tattoo, yeah.
I want to watch Man with a Golden Gun today.
Before, and,
Mr. Scaramanga.
That's good. Rick Eklund.
That's exactly what he does it.
Mr. Scaramanga.
That's pre-tattoo.
Yeah.
Mr. Scaramanga.
And then what was the line? He's got a superfluous nipple.
Yeah, he's got a he's got a third nipple.
He puts one on, and as he takes it off, they go, how was impersonating Scaramanga? He's all titillating. And the entire audience goes,
But only Roger Moore could deliver it the way he... I did like... Man with a Golden Gun is goofy, but it's fun. I like
it. It is.
You know what's great about it?
Christopher Lee's a great... He's a, one
he's
of the
a
better,
great villain.
He's one of the better Bond villains.
And he's Bond-esque in his own way. He's suave, debonair, and he's enticing to women. It's fantastic. I
think
love
that
it.
Was a movie where people realized he could play more than just Dracula, you know? You're like, hey, this guy can talk.
He's got that magnetism.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love I love.
And you've got the psychedelic mirror room.
Yes. That was
very 70s.
Yeah.
Very 70s. That fun house.
Yeah. So good. I love that movie.
What's great about that movie is that the one of the best things about it is that it a lot of the James Bond movies don't date well because it involves the Cold War or all this stuff. He's just going up against another villain,
and you can watch it.
And that's really like
that's kind of a timeless.
It's kind of a timeless. You know, it's almost like a western or something.
Because Live and Let Die, you know, you're going, oh, it's the '70s.
Oh, look, he's in Harlem in the '70s.
Oh, it's the '70s. You're like, oh yeah, this is like Shaft era.
Yeah, the bad part about it is they bring back J.W. Pepper, who was probably the worst thing about Live and Let Die.
Was that the sheriff?
The sheriff, yeah.
And he just passed away.
Yeah, he turns up in Bangkok of all places. Just happens to be there in Bangkok.
Well, because they said we got to work him in. That was a popular.
Oh yeah, I know.
And then what's weird is for some reason I think AMC, the car company, got a sponsorship, so they're driving like an AMC. Like it's like a.
Yeah,
it's like the flying car is like an old AMC.
Yeah, and I remember thinking that's odd. That's the last company you'd think would make a flying car.
Yeah,
but it's so cool.
They were barely in business. I know we're riveting conversation today when people in the room are reading their phones and playing Tsum Tsum.
I'm looking at a aged Roger Moore.
Okay. So go to like. Look at a picture of Roger Moore from like Live and Let Die, and as a female, what would you think?
Is he a panty dropper?
Hold on.
Wow.
Hey.
A penny dropper?
Penny. Panty dropper.
Penny. Would you drop a penny for that?
Money penny. He's a money penny dropper, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hello.
I
actually
want to
see him.
Money penny dropper. Mm-hmm. That's a tongue twister.
Money penny dropper.
How old is he in this movie?
He was born in 1920, I believe. Let's get Roger Moore.
So he's probably like 50-something when he does this first James Bond, right?
No, he's in his 40s, I believe.
Is he?
He's not young, you can tell. And he's the traditional, I'm a fat buff guy. I like that.
Fat buff.
No, he's not fat.
Well, not fat in a sense, movie, but you know what I mean as far as
he's
like,
very slender.
He's not toned.
You know what's
muscular,
funny about Roger Moore is that he doesn't look physically imposing. And
that's what I mean.
They play up to that a lot. He is the Bond who like gets his butt kicked a lot.
Also, you find him in the tux more often than the other ones.
He was 45 when he started the role. He was 45, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he's
and by the time he – that last one, he's looking
– his kung fu.
Oh, yeah. He's looking pretty frail, yeah. But he had already been on Maverick.
Yeah. He was one of the brothers. He was a cousin from England. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Maverick.
He'd been working since the 50s.
Yeah. What I love is Ray Davies works that in. Steve McQueen, Roger Moore, and Steve McQueen?
Yeah.
The wives are wishing that they were married to Roger Moore.
Yeah, that's right. In Daylight. That's right.
Yeah. So he gets a shout out from Ray Davies.
Good old Ray Davies.
He's okay.
Not a panty dropper, I guess. He's all right.
Look at that man.
What a man.
I liked him more than Connery.
He was some kind of man.
You liked him more than Connery.
As James Bond?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I like Sean.
You know why? Because whenever I see Sean Connery, all I think is Highlander.
That's the problem. If you've only know old Sean Connery, then it's going to shade how you see the
Yeah.
But From Russia with Love is that's the one with no gimmicks. That's just secret agent stuff.
So, For Your Eyes Only is a lot like that. That was like a throwback during the Roger Moore was a throwback to like the even have Blofeld in the beginning.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of a gimmick because there's like a remote control helicopter that Blofeld's flying. But after that, they get pretty.
It all sort of starts with Goldfinger, and people loved it so much they're like, okay, more of this, more oil slicks coming out of the back of the car. You know, more goofball stuff. But yeah, that's what's kind of cool about From Russia with Love. It's pretty much quite straight.
Sean Connery's pretty cute. And what is this, Dr. No?
That's the first one.
Look at that.
A.O. Scott.
That's the first one. Yeah.
A.O. Scott in the New York Times wrote an article. Roger Moore was the best James Bond because he was the Gen X James Bond.
So he's just qualifying it.
I still respect the tiny gun syndrome.
The tiny gun syndrome.
What is all it? The James Bond all have the Walter PB.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always the small gun. And everybody's like, can you do anything with that? And they're always
check it out.
Hell yeah.
And it fits into a tux.
let me read you this from the New York Times.
Spies don't need to come.
Mr. Connery brought a rough sexual swagger to Ian Fleming's fantasy of British masculine competence. Later, Daniel Craig would bring pouty, wounded prettiness.
What?
His 21st century 007 is at pains to seem sensitive, ambivalent, woke. But Mr. Moore's blithe efficiency has always struck me as a true expression of the Bond ideal. He was, by his own admission, an actor of modest gifts, which made him the perfect for the role, at least as far as I'm concerned. My James Bond is not a macho compensation for lost imperial power, like Mr. Connery, or an anxious avatar of globalization, like Mr. Craig. He's a cartoon superhero in evening wear, a man whose mission is to embody, and therefore to transcend, a secondhand, second-rate age, to be cool and clever in a world determined to be as lame and dumb as possible. Nobody did it better than Roger Moore.
That is fantastic.
That's a nice obituary.
That is a nice obituary. That was great.
However wrongheaded, that's a great piece of writing, you know?
Dig it.
And we also have...
dig it.
We also have, from the New York Times, one-line reviews of Roger Moore movies. And these are all from the New York Times. Live and Let Die. Moore's first outing as James Bond. Enough color and zing, if no House of Fire. Man with a Golden Gun. James Bond in Asia. No powerhouse, but okay. The Spy Who Loved Me. James Bond teams up with Russian agent. Still percolating at this point. James Bond goes into... This is Moonraker. James Bond goes intergalactic. Very singy, though not the crest. Wow. For Your Eyes Only. Moore retains an ageless cool. Not the best of the series by a long shot, but it's far from the worst. Octopussy. Bond Adventure number 13 with fake Fabergé egg and threats of World War III. Formula still working. View to a Kill. Wicked financier planning to destroy Silicon Valley. Moore's last Bond and probably just as well.
Damn.
That is not the best one.
There you have it. No, that's not. That's the one to skip. If you have to skip a couple, that's one of them.
That is the UK jive of, hey, how about that? So with that, we say goodbye to Roger Moore. I'm really bummed out that he's dead. I really did.
I liked him a lot.
It bummed me out. It's weird that he's the second James Bond, but he's the first to go. Connery's still going strong.
Although retired. And in his age.
Wait, is Connery
it's cause
younger than Roger
there
Moore?
Can only be one.
No, they're still
like the Sith. There can only be two.
That and, you know, he's still listening off the coast to their rock and roll music.
We will sit on that coast and we will listen to that rock and roll.
Is that the Rock?
No, it's...
He was younger.
Hunt for Red October.
He was born in 1930. Connery is younger.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I always thought he was older.
And then
he looked
The Rock was a good movie, too.
I like The Rock.
Yeah, I did. It's What's-His-Face is a really good movie.
Oh, Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
Oh, he's had some good movies. You ever see Leaving Las Vegas?
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good. Make you cry.
Pierce Brosnan wrote a nice little piece. Said, "Dear Sir Roger, it is indeed with a heavy heart that I hear news of your passing this morning. You're a big part of my life from the Saint to James Bond. You were a magnificent Bond and one that led the way for me. The world will miss you and your unique sense of humor for years to come." I'm going to go home and watch. Now I want to watch all the Roger.
Did Sean Connery have a...
Sean Connery said...
In the accent, please.
He said, "I was very sad to hear of Roger's passing. We had an unusually long relationship by Hollywood standards that was filled with jokes and laughter. I will miss him.
That's great. That's a good accent.
Thank you.
He does good.
I don't try too hard.
You don't have to. It's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good Sean Connery. It's good. Yeah, it's good.
That's how you do it in Chicago.
I'm so mad. All right, guys, let's take a quick break. We only bless you. Oh, you know, what's wrong?
I just, you know, Roger Moore. No, I'm just kidding. No, I have a cold.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I have a cold.
Hold your pocket up. Oh, so oh, close. No. Justina, what are you looking at now?
Cough drop wrapper.
Nothing.
Roger Moore.
I'm waiting for you to go to Brock
Daniel,
Crawford.
No, she's looking at Daniel Craig.
John, what is your favorite James Bond movie, if I may ask?
From Russia with Love. Yeah.
What about you, Patrick?
Because of Nostalgic Man with Golden Gun.
What about you, Jake?
Because I haven't seen and or don't remember the older one, Skyfall.
Why don't you watch them all in order?
Yeah.
That's our next project. We're watching all the James Bond movies in order.
Movie Justine's night.
All, I'm out.
Nope. Justine's watching them too.
I'm out.
We're starting with Dr. No. Okay. And then we're going to go all the way up through, what's the latest one? Spectre.
That's right.
We don't have them available. Are they available on
video? Not only are they all available on DVD, but they've now put them in like these packages at a really reasonable price. They've got like two that are like two packages that are all the Sean Connerys. You got a couple that are.
Who has Hulu?
Okay, I found it.
I do.
I have Hulu.
What are you looking at?
Oh, that's right.
It was a Sean Connery.
Hulu.
Sean Connery dad jokes. It was on Jimmy Fallon, and they did dad jokes, and one of them was a Sean Connery one.
How does it go?
In the knock, accent,
knock.
Please.
Who's there?
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
Dishes Sean Connery. Yeah, of course you'd love it.
Oh my god.
Jimmy Fallon did a huge dad joke thing segment, and there were just a ton of dad jokes, and that was one of them.
God, that's beautiful. Alright, okay, knock, knock.
What's your favorite?
Who's there?
Daisy.
Daisy who?
Daisy me rolling.
Who's your favorite? What's your favorite?
My favorite James Bond movie is probably From Russia with Love.
Oh, we agree on that.
Yeah. Sean Connery, my favorite Bond. Yeah. Roger Moore, a close second, just because he was my first. Yeah. You know, he's my first love.
You never
yeah.
forget your first.
You never forget your first Bond.
That's right. Ba-da-bom, ba-da-bom.
Plus, when I was like, Octopussy came out when I was 12. Yeah, can you imagine a better title than Octopussy? Because that'll you're basically
you
saying a bad word.
You get to say it all week
you get
long.
To say it.
Hey, you know what I'm going to see, guys?
I'm going to see Octopussy.
Did you see Octopussy? It was great.
Yes. Question?
Yeah.
Did you see Octopussy, teacher? It's in a movie.
It's in a movie.
Yeah.
It's playing with snatch and dick.
It's playing with what?
That's a double feature.
I don't know.
Guy Ritchie's Snatch. And Dan Hedaya in Dick. Snatch and Dick. Big laughs. Big yawks.
Is that a real thing?
Well, they're real movies.
Oh, Dick!
Oh, Dick!
With
Dan Hedaya playing Nixon.
Yeah, and
Kirsten Hurst. Sure.
Kirsten Dunst.
You can spend your free time.
I've seen that.
Wasn't that funny?
Putting smalls. Mm-hmm.
What are you watching?
It was a commercial that popped up.
Fire
now you should say, "What are you watching?" We're trying to do a show here.
Yeah, Dick was good. That was Michelle Williams and Kirsten Dunst.
That was very funny.
Calm down, yeah. Justine.
It was a good one.
Great, Dick.
We're, of course, talking about the movie Dick. I just typed Dick into Google.
Because there's a new
do
movie.
Do you regret
there's
that?
There's a brand new show now called I Love Dick.
What do you think the number one thing?
And then I clicked images.
What do you think the number one thing when I typed in Dick, what do you think the number one search result was on Google.com?
A huge
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
That's your guess? Justine?
I don't want to play.
Winner gets a shot at the prize box.
It's the prize box. Oh, Dick in a Box. Damn it.
Dick in a Box?
I'm still sticking with Dick Cheney.
Let me think.
Jake?
I'm going to say John Holmes.
John Holmes. All right.
Yeah, I bet you I'm right.
Moby Dick.
Moby Dick. What was Moby Dick's father's name? Papa Boner.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
That was my favorite joke since we were like fifth grade.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
What do you got?
I don't know. My mind's still in the gutter. I have no idea.
Well, that's
huge,
it.
A huge
that's the
dick.
Answer.
Number one search result.
A huge slong.
from about 893 million results.
Dick Cheese?
Dick Sporting Goods.
Damn.
Dick Sporting Goods.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Man, Google needs to...
You go down about up. 7, and there is Dick. It's from 1999, IMDb.
Dick Bucket?
It is starring Michelle Williams, Kirsten Dunst, Dan Hedaya.
As Nixon. Yeah. That was a funny movie.
Now, if you click images, you'll get a different
I have no
story.
Idea who Michelle Williams
you
is.
You do.
Michelle Williams was married to Heath Ledger. She has his child.
And she just played Marilyn Monroe last year. And
yeah, she's like doing a lot of things now.
She came from Dawson's Creek.
She did a lot of movies.
Zava Ziva.
She was in, that's how she met her lover. Cold Mountain.
Huh?
Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain. Oh, yeah. What was the last movie we saw Kirsten Dunst in?
Speaking of Dick.
She's in Fargo.
She's on the show, but what was the last movie we saw her in?
Spider-Man 3.
No.
I saw her in, Spotless Mind.
Nope.
Eternal Sunshine. Sunshine of Spotless Mind.
Winner gets a dip in the prize box.
Gets a dip.
No googling.
I have my phone.
So what was the question?
What was the last film we saw Kirsten Dunst?
Bring it on.
No googling.
What is it? Nobody's.
She turns up in Hidden Figures.
I never saw that.
Yeah, she turns up in Hidden Figures.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It took me forever to figure out. I was like, hey, that's...
Yeah, that's right. She wasn't that.
That's Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, yeah.
It's a girl from Bring It On.
She plays
Adam Shepard. Not Hidden Figures.
She's from Bring It On.
She's in The Help?
Yeah.
I'm sure she's in Jumanji.
Yeah.
Jumanji's cool.
All right, guys. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back and play a round of Jumanji.
She was in Midnight Special.
That was...
We'll be back.
That was last year.
Bankers crack their backs and wish they were young and in their teens. Lonely spinsters dream of dating Roger Moore or Steve Moore. Health fanatics and
Roger Moore.
Fanatics training for the
Thanks for reminding me, John. Let's get to that chorus.
Battleships and
aeroplanes. This is a little chorus. That is Daylight by the Kinks from the album Preservation Act 1.
Written by Sir Ray Davies.
This is slowly just turning into a Kinks podcast.
Ray Davies. Speaking of slowly turning into a Kinks podcast, tonight I will be recording episode 3 of the Kinks trilogy on the Rock Solid Show with Pat Francis, your host Pat Francis.
Who are you recording with?
I am recording with your friend and mine, radio and internet and televisions and stand-up comedy TVs. Pat Francis, and we're going to be talking about the 80s Kinks, the last era of the Kinks. So we'll be going, and that will be out. I will let you guys know when. But listen to Rock Solid. Listen to the Kinks. Listen to Preservation Act 1 and 2. Very interesting. Some people like it or hate it. It's very divisive.
But they are beautiful songs. If you just put it on and didn't say what album it was off of, you go, oh, that's beautiful.
Now, speaking of divisive, we hit a... So listen for that. We hit a little. John said, "Of course, we're going to talk about Chris Cornell," and then Patrick had a really confused look on his face. Then we played a little bit of Spoon Man in the break, and then Jake sang along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Patrick, you said, "What did you say?"
I don't remember.
You said,
"Best we don't."
He said, it all sounds the same. It could be anybody. Yeah. It could be the guy from Creed. It could be the guy.
I'm just saying you can. He has that sound as far as, and I appreciate him as a singer. He's a good singer, and he's better than a lot of people. But he fits easily into groups like Creed.
You can say that about any current pop artist, though, now, too.
I think what happens,
they
all sound like that.
This is a generation
grunge.
Of growlers. I know what you're saying.
It is,
Eddie Vedder, Kurt Cobain, they all kind of have a similar timbre.
Yeah.
But I would say Chris Cornell had a real set of pipes. It was like Robert Plant, that sort of.
Well, I was just going to bring up Led Zeppelin. That happens. What happens is you get a sound that's influential,
right?
And then the three or four bands that sort of form that movement, usually what it is, and then everybody tries to sound like them, so then they become – people go, I hate that music. But it's
– And if you check the chronology, I think Soundgarden predates most of those bands, including mm-hmm. Nirvana
mm-hmm.
and
Pearl
Jam. And the thing is, it's true. It's like Led Zeppelin and Roxy Music. They're responsible for a lot of bad bands and a lot of bad vocalists. But I think he had the goods. He had the chops. And it's not very often you get somebody who can sing like that.
He's a good singer.
Like Robert Plant, where they've really got the vocal power.
The pipes.
Yeah.
John, tell us about your first experience.
No, I'm not going to get all weepy. It's a band I like.
No, what I want to know is you're into music, so it's early 90s. We know each other. Here come these bands like Soundgarden, Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots, all these other bands.
Temple of Doom.
What was your initial reaction?
Well, I loved Nirvana from the get-go, and I heard them before Nevermind came out. I was in some store on Melrose. I think it was Wacko's, and they were playing Bleach. I was in there for about an hour, and they were playing Bleach on the boombox, and I thought, wow, who's that? That's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, it's this new band out of Seattle, Nirvana. It's on this little label, Sub Pop. I thought, boy, that's really good. And then I was working at Lovell's, and we kept getting the British news magazines and newspapers in, and they would be on the cover. Like here, nobody knew who they were, but on the cover of the NME and the Melody Maker, they're doing Nirvana cover stories. They just thought they were great. Kind of like the Pixies. The British were really into the Pixies,
yeah,
and they never really hit here in a big way, And so that's the way it was with Nirvana. Even before Dave Grohl joined the band, they would do cover stories going, here's Nirvana with their latest drummer. It's like there was one of those bands that had trouble holding a drummer.
Yeah.
But I must admit, I got a lot of those bands I wasn't too crazy about. Smashing Pumpkins, Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots, I wasn't too crazy about them. And I think I came to Soundgarden kind of late. I think I got into them about the time they put out Super Unknown. And then I went back and listened to some of the earlier stuff.
That was the first album I heard of them, too, Super
Unknown. Yeah, and just every song on that album was great. And mm-hmm. he just had a really unique – I mean, there just aren't many people that have that kind of power in their voice, And not just for belting out the loud stuff. He really had a really amazing
voice. Hard to do. It's hard to walk that balance where you're not just screaming all the time.
Yeah. No, and he was just – I just thought he was in a league with Robert Plant. But I must admit, there are people at work that go, he wasn't that great.
Yeah.
How can you put him in the same sentence with Robert Plant? I just thought, no, this guy really had it.
Apparently, Patrick feels that way.
No, I'm just... it makes sense that if he pioneered it, that you would get a lot of people sounding like him, that I understand.
I mean, you look at the 90s, there's a hell of a lot of bad bands that are trying to sound like Nirvana and Soundgarden.
Do you think Smashing Pumpkins is a bad band?
Oh, I wasn't really into Smashing Pumpkins. I understand why people dig them, but I just never really liked them.
You like the Smashing Pumpkins?
They have my name in their song, so.
So you have to like them.
You know what it was, Justine? I thought they were really ripping off the Pixies. That sort of quiet, loud dynamic where you do it real quiet and then scream at the top of your lungs.
I like the Pixies.
I thought that was really ripping off the Pixies. Yeah, the Pixies were my favorite from that era. I just thought they were the best band of that decade. Yeah. And even Kurt Cobain said he almost didn't put out Smells Like Teen Spirits because he was a huge Pixies fan. He said, oh, people are just going to say I'm aping the Pixies. So you almost didn't put that out. Can you believe it?
It would have been crazy. And that's one of their most iconic songs, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to turn up on the cover of Enemy with Kim Deal, and he was kind of like, I'm not worthy,
Yeah.
So that was the thing. So with the Smashing Pumpkins, I had a chip on my shoulder. I thought, oh, they're just doing the Pixies.
John, Smashing Pumpkins or the Wallflowers?
Wow, that's really apples and oranges. That's apples and oranges. You might as well say apples or oranges.
Beyonce or Metallica?
Beyonce.
I love when the Simpsons meet Smashing Pumpkins.
Why'd you look at me like that? I hate Metallica. I just, I'm just... I don't. Their music's fine. I just.
I was never on board either.
They as people are just.
You know what you sound like right now?
Huh. He's lemonading.
How I feel about Beyonce.
Yeah. No, I'm.
He's lemonading right now.
Yeah.
He's
making. Life gave me lemons. I'm making lemonade, girl. That's what I'm doing. Okay.
I'll be honest though.
Beyonce.
I just don't. I don't like her music. She's very extremely talented, and
welcome to a new segment.
We can't why I don't like Beyonce.
Why does Patrick hate everything?
I just don't like her music.
She's very talented.
Yeah.
I just don't.
She's very talented.
She has a wonderful.
Why did you make curvy girl?
I just don't enjoy her music.
Wonderful.
I know she's extremely.
Oh, no. Look at Mario.
That wasn't even me.
No, it wasn't even him.
My hands are.
You know what? That was God.
Yeah.
Telling you to shut your mouth.
No, Mario's all
that
Jake.
Was the queen reaching down and going.
Yeah. But God is very angry with you.
No, I was going to say earlier, I think Nirvana gets overplayed a lot and kind of ruins it. Mm-hmm. I think there's some great songs, but kind of
like
hear
the, well, they only play yeah. Smells Like
they
Teen Spirit.
Death,
yeah. Yeah, it's just like you hear the same song over and over.
They never play anything off of Bleach.
No,
so that's the thing. It's only the hits. They only play the hits.
So yeah. I mean, it's
because that's what gets ratings.
Yeah. They're just you hear it on the radio all the time. That's any true. Alternative station,
that's true.
You'll every fourth song is a Nirvana song.
Kind of like Sublime.
Yeah,
they ruin Sublime for everybody. K Rock just plays them every 10 minutes.
So
on the,
I couldn't do it
like clockwork. Yeah.
So I don't enjoy Nirvana as much because
they've ruined
that.
It.
Yeah,
it's like the Beatles. I think that's what ruins the Beatles for people like Mario. Yeah. It's all you hear on certain stations.
Yes. Mario just hates.
Just doesn't like the Beatles in general.
It's overexposure.
Yeah, I agree.
As good as it is, it's overexposure. I heard Joan Baez did a version of "Smells Like Teen Spirit."
Really?
Yeah, you should try to find that. When she won the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, they were talking about things she had done that were unlikely.
What?
And I think she covered "Smells Like Teen Spirit."
We always support Latina artists on this.
If you can't find that, I know for a fact Tori Amos did a very quiet version of "Smells Like Teen Spirit."
that's
that's the first time I figured out what the lyrics were. I'm like, what? An albino? What?
Well, it's because he's just growling it so loud you can barely understand what he's saying.
I know. And then when you hear the lyrics, you're like, oh, they mean nothing.
Kind of like Toe Jam Football.
Mosquito, Malibu.
What is it? John Lennon put the lyrics in.
Come Together.
Yeah, they were all just like placeholders, and they just never went back and did it.
Right.
You know?
That's funny.
Going up slowly.
Well, then he gets sued by Chuck Berry because there was too much of it that sounded like You Can't Catch Me.
Oh, is that true?
And Chuck Berry's lawyer won, and so as a result, he had to do that album. They said, instead of giving us money, cut an album of rock and roll oldies, make sure there's like 3 Chuck Berry songs on there. That was the deal they struck between the lawyers.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Dang.
That's pretty crazy. How many lawsuits has John Lennon lost, John Coe?
Well, I have no idea. But a couple years later, George Harrison got sued because "My Sweet Lord," they said, sounded too much like "He's So Fine" by the Chiffons.
That is true.
And they won that. So it's like,
wow.
So it's weird that, Led Zeppelin won for "Stairway to Heaven" because they said, listen, this chord progression goes back to the 1400s. So what are you going to do?
That's true.
So you couldn't find it? Is that Joan Baez?
No, it's Joan Jett.
Okay. Tori Amos did like a really quiet version, just a real acoustic, tiny little voice.
Did you cry when you found out Chris Cornell died, John?
No.
What about you, Patrick?
No.
Patrick said, who was it? The guy from Creed?
Well, I think you guys
the guy
also
from Creed?
See, I was right in the wheelhouse for grunge. Like, that was supposed to be my generation. And I came to it much later. At the time, it really didn't make an impression on me, which sounds horribly short-sighted.
One, Soundgarden song I know is that Smooth Man, yeah.
That's it?
That they're really famous for, yeah.
Black Hole Sun?
Black Hole Sun, that's the one. I mean, that's the one you hear all the time.
And, of course, Fell on Black Days.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course,
don't even hear that one all the time.
And, of course, Pretty News.
Don't even hear those.
Of course, Blow Out the Outside World.
Nope, don't hear those.
You literally hear Black Hole Sun and
Smooth Man. Okay, how about Rusty Cage?
Don't even hear that one.
The one that Johnny Cash covered. That was interesting in the obit. He said that's when he started paying more attention to his lyrics because he says, son of a gun, when Johnny Cash covers one of your songs and you really listen to the lyrics, you go, it makes you want to try real hard on your next song, you know?
It's funny that's when cool, you... Huh? That's why when you have somebody like Richard Cheese do a cover of some pop it, you realize how bad the lyrics are because you hear it in another meeting and you're like, when you take it out of the trappings...
That whole MTV Unplugged, initially before it became such a thing, it was kind of like, okay, we're going to see which bands have good lyrics because you're going to be able to hear them now. And also what bands can play because it won't be all just distortion and bass. It's going to be who can really get up there with an acoustic guitar and play. But so that was interesting at first to see which bands could
It's really funny because that we were talking about earlier, John, I lent you the Kinks Phobia, which is their last album.
Yeah.
They have a song on there called Somebody Stole My Car, which sounds like it could be right off of like the missing track off of Huey Lewis and the News Sports. It's got like that feel to it. But then there's like
Anonymous and bland.
Yeah, but then there's this social commentary in there that he just sneaks
which
in
is Ray
there,
Davies, yeah.
And you're like, well, that's why he's that's why that band is the way it is.
That's why he's Ray Davies. Yeah.
Even when he's trying to do you know so-called arena rock or you know dumb it down, he can't help himself.
That's right. That's right.
He can't.
Yeah, that's the thing about Misfits or Better Things, and you go, you know, he's trying, but you know, and actually it worked because something like Come Dancing that was a top 10 hit.
Yeah.
Which is funny because they didn't. I think the guy that ran Arista didn't want to put that out as a single, and you know he really believed in it. And the guy's all, "This is never gonna. Nobody cares about this."
It was the and it was their biggest hit since Lola.
That was their last smash hit.
Yeah,
just goes to show you a lot of those guys don't know shit.
Well, John, here you go. This is from this since we talked about Roger Moore earlier. Oh no, that's not from Roger Moore.
Whoops.
There we go.
Oh, this is great. Thanks. This is a good one.
This is, of course, You Know My Name from Casino Royale.
Yeah, this was good. One of the better James Bond
things. If you take life, do you know what you give? I'll tell you won't like what it is. When the
Justine's tearing up.
Arrives, would you be
boredom. That's from yawning.
By the merciless eyes of the sea.
I'm like tearing. looking at Jake for his reaction. I'm sorry, Patrick.
I enjoyed this song.
No,
just
see how many years is it that he's still calling you the wrong name?
It's a good song.
Justine has no reaction.
She's heartless.
Okay.
You know what?
If, it was on, if this was like on a thing I can skip on, I would skip it.
Whoa.
But you know why, though? James Bond movies have to serve a certain... The theme song
has to fit.
They have to fit, and there's a certain formula they have to follow.
They've all got to sound like Thunderball or Goldfinger.
Yeah.
The dynamics have to be the same. Which is why Shirley Bassey's done like four of them. Right?
Yeah, she's got the formula down.
That was the thing you had to give to Paul McCartney. He really nailed it. That Live and Let Die sounds like a James Bond
thing. Know,
Adele did a song, didn't she?
Yes.
Skyfall.
And that was a good one.
She did a good job.
That was a good one because it sounds like one of those classic Shirley Bassey themes. Yeah. Yeah.
Now let's see. Are you familiar with this song?
Miss Meadow.
Oh, that's... God bless it.
I love Marshall. God damn it.
God dang his ads. All right, here we go.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
Do you not know this song?
Changing world,
you don't know this song?
Not even the Guns N' Roses version.
What?
Hold on.
I can't believe I just said that, but Guns N' Roses did cover this.
Say live and let die.
Live and let die.
Live and let die. You've never heard this song?
I'm really disappointed in you.
Never heard that.
That's a surprise. That's
wow, Justine.
Shameful. She's deaf though, so that makes
Justine,
sense.
I don't even like the Beatles, and I like that song.
Damn. I didn't even know that. No, never heard of it. What year did that come out?
Before you were born.
73.
Wow. She has to have heard it. Just can't remember.
Well, I was going to say, because people at least know, I hate to say it, but people at least know the Guns N' Roses version, which is god awful. But they've heard that version.
No,
that
one's terrible.
Wow, Justine, you're a real wonder of nature.
Yeah. She's like, listen, this isn't important. It's not like knowing, like not knowing who Paul Revere or
she
Thomas
likes
Jefferson
ranch on
is.
Her tacos. She hasn't
you
heard.
Put ranch on your taco.
Die.
You've never heard "Live and Let Die."
Cries at the dead. Cries laughs when at Xavier dies. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Laughs. You're one. Cry. You are one in a million.
she
doesn't like Toy Story 2.
Oh, yeah. Boy, you're a horrible human being.
It's all right.
It's all right.
I saw Poltergeist, the recent one, last night, 2015.
How was that?
It was stupid.
What?
Have you guys seen it?
Have you seen the original?
I loved Poltergeist when I was little.
The first one was great. Yeah.
That was my favorite movie when I was little.
Have you ever heard the theme song to Poltergeist?
It didn't need to be remade.
Who was in that? The new one.
I'm kidding.
What's his name? Fight Club?
No, not Fight Club.
I know it. They look the same.
Edward Norton.
No, it's not. It's the guy who looks like Edward Norton, but it's not Edward Norton.
We were talking about him last time. He was part of
Chuck Berry.
Gong Show, and like he was in that movie with Drew Barrymore.
He played Chuck Berry in the Gong Show. Sam Rockwell.
Thank you. He was the dad.
Oh, he's always good. So I'm thinking
he's a good actor.
No matter how bad the movie is, he's always good.
He's all right.
Well, did you see that movie Moon?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great in that. Too.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
He's great in what was the Star Trek parody?
He was great in Iron Man 2.
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. He's great in Galaxy Quest.
Have you seen the preview for the new Seth MacFarlane TV show that's a Star Trek spoof?
No.
Really?
What?
Yeah, it's called...
Seth MacFarlane? So there's probably singing?
And I'm not the biggest Seth MacFarlane fan, but it looks funny.
Galaxy Quest.
He has a sexy voice, though.
Is that true?
Yes.
Seth MacFarlane?
Did you buy his album?
No, but he has a great voice.
You mean singing voice?
Singing and talking voice.
Ah.
Well, all the voices.
It's called the Orville. The Orville, and it's a Star Trek parody. It looks pretty good.
Is it sponsored by Orville Redenbacher?
Your cricket sounds.
Yeah, you should have that on.
Can you get a
You should have a button where it's all
chirp, 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 chirp.
That joke just.
I will not do it to myself.
So is that probably Netflix, right? Only available on
Netflix. No, I think it's Fox.
Oh, it's even worse. Fox.
Okay, wait. Say it again. Ask me if it's sponsored by Orville Redenbacher.
Is it sponsored by Orville Redenbacher? With the brace.
There you go. That's it. How's that? That was
a horrible cricket.
That wasn't even cricket.
It sounded like a bicycle.
It sounded like somebody's train.
It sounded like something creepy was going to come up.
Speaking of which, what if Twin Peaks?
What if we just play a Buddy Holly song?
The new one?
The new one.
I saw that they had it on Amazon Prime, I think?
No, Showtime.
Yeah.
Did anybody see it?
Oh,
for what?
No, I haven't seen it.
No, I'm too busy watching
American Gods. I've never seen the original.
What?
Really?
I've seen the original.
Really?
Seen what?
Twin Peaks?
Did you like Blue Velvet
Peaks?
And all that stuff?
Have you?
Wild at Heart? And all
I've seen some Twin Peaks.
Good show.
I was going to say she looks down.
Really bad right now.
Has a great atmosphere.
Looking at them right now. On the internet. All right. Say it again.
Looked up Twin
Horrible Redenbacher.
This joke's done.
I love it. This joke's
done. Just hold on to it. You know someone's going to tell a stupid joke.
I can't
find Orville it. Orville Redenbacher.
Wait about any minute
a few
now.
More minutes.
All right.
Trip.
No. So, Mark, you never cared about Twin Peaks?
No, I missed the boat on that one. I don't know why. I think it was because I was already working.
Do you have Showtime? Because they're running all the old ones, too.
Are they really?
Yes.
I don't have Showtime.
But it's a great, like,
are you still watching American Gods?
I am listening to the audiobook because it's taking. I've been, honestly, have no time to do anything else right now getting ready for this. Other podcasts I'm doing and working and doing all this stuff. So I was reading it and I just fell behind. And my wife, she's like, oh, I've been listening to it. And I was like, well, I hate listening to books. I really do. But my wife got caught up. She's like, I'm ready to watch the show. And man, I don't want to make you wait.
Who's reading the book?
How long did it take for her to?
She listened to it over like the course of a week, I think.
Did they get somebody good to read it?
It's great to read. It's a fantastic read. It's a long audiobook, though.
But who got it?
Who'd they get to read it? 19 hours or something?
It's something crazy like that. The one is George.
That's so much better.
George Goodall.
I don't know who that is.
Well, there's two. You can get one with a cast. They, like, acted it out.
The cast version one? This one's the same guy. He does all the voices. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it's the unabridged one, so it's... I'm still going through it.
How long does it take? Isn't it, like, a 19-hour book or something?
At least. This one, I don't think it has a total... Yeah, it looks about 19 hours at least. Wow.
How is the show going? Is the show progressing well?
Love it.
I stopped after the first episode because I want to keep...
It's tracking perfectly.
Okay.
And it's really enjoyable. After the first episode, it gets funny. It gets good.
So you saw that scene.
We're not going to talk about that.
You saw the scene.
The scene everybody talks about.
This is what I was like after I saw the scene.
With your daughter in the room?
just staring.
We are never talking about this.
That's our new...
You still haven't read the book, right?
I haven't. I saw some pictures. What is like a flaming buffalo or something?
Yeah.
That made me want to see the show and read the book.
It's got this Stars.
This buffalo
fantastic.
On fire or something? Or,
so
it just looked crazy.
It's buffalo. Great. It's Ice. Fantastic, and the show's being great.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic.
Well, it's Neil Gaiman, right?
It's Neil Gaiman, yeah. So you know it's going to be good no matter what.
Yeah.
But all of it's like excerpts of different, you know, tales throughout American history of foreign gods in America.
Right, right.
Which is really cool.
Wow. I just want to know what's up with that buffalo.
You got to watch it. And you got to read the book, too. It
looks like it's on fire from the inside out or something. Like it's a meteor or something with legs.
Yeah, it's the burning spirit.
We can't tell you, John.
No. Okay. I'll have to mostly, Mario can't tell you because he doesn't know.
We can't tell you, John.
So you've read the book and
I've read it several times. I'm re-listening to it. And I've already listened to it once. I'm re-listening to it and I'm watching it.
Wow, you're really into it.
Yeah, it's great.
If you were listening for the second time to the audiobook
yeah.
and
I've read
the
book like six or seven times.
Wow.
It's a really good read.
Is it as good as the Star Wars radio drama?
I haven't read it. Or heard it.
Okay, is it the best of all the Neil Gaiman books?
It's
you like Norse mythology, right?
Norse mythology was good, yeah. Which I listened to that audiobook too, which was just fun little excerpts. But as far as Neil Gaiman books go, it's probably my favorite. My second favorite would be Neverwhere. Mm. Neverwhere was fantastic.
I love Neverwhere.
See, she read it. She
yeah,
never
Neverwhere
reads.
Is good.
What's Neverwhere about, guys?
Neverwhere is about London below, about this guy who falls into this world beneath London of Backstreets and magic, and it's just it's fantastic. It's good. It's perfect. It fits really well into Neil Gaiman's realm and everything like that. It's cool.
So it's like an alternate universe, or is it really a city beneath London?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. I thought they made it into a comic.
They did. There's a comic. They sell it here somewhere.
Hmm.
But it's good. Just check it out. And it's got all sorts of like interesting characters and just good. Yeah,
it's good.
It's good.
It's good. John, have you read any Neil Gaiman at all?
I haven't. I read some back when he was doing Sandman. I read some of those.
Yeah,
but I read some great stuff about Norse mythology. You were raving about Norse mythology.
That's a great audiobook too. Yeah. If you're driving along, because it's really short, like excerpts of Norse myths, it's fantastic. That's a great audiobook.
Justine, what do you think of Neil Gaiman?
I like him. But he's the one that wrote like all the good movies too, like Coraline and
Alien.
I always forget about Coraline. Yeah. I always forget that was Neil Gaiman.
Mm-hmm. Wrote what?
Coraline.
No, did you say Alien? Speaking of which, did anyone see Alien Covenant?
Yes.
John.
Ooh. What'd you think?
I loved it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Wow. I thought it was really good.
You saw the first movie too?
Uh-huh.
Prometheus.
Yeah, that first one was crazy.
Prometheus was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually seen all of them, even the stupid Alien vs. Predator movies.
Those are so bad.
They're really bad. They don't really count. If you're doing the full set, it doesn't count.
No.
It's got 6.9 on IMDb. What's the rot?
Is that good?
No, 6.9.
No. Warner Brothers announced their monster...
Bride of Frankenstein.
And that's going to be Bill Condon, who did Of Gods and Monsters.
John, you've got to be excited.
Yeah.
I know you want to be mad at it, but that's got to be exciting for you.
Guillermo del Toro?
No, it's not being filmed by Guillermo del Toro.
Because he wanted to do it.
It's, what's his name? Benicio del Toro. Not Benicio del Toro. Who's
Guillermo del Toro.
The actor who plays with the...
Use your word.
The cricket. Sound the cricket.
Love the
snake. John Wayne. Hat.
The bad guy in No Country for Old Men.
Oh.
Javier Bardem.
Thank you. Jeez. He's going to be Frankenstein.
You
should have had it.
He's their Frankenstein.
71% on...
They had a list.
But I wonder why they're starting with... Okay, give me the list, because the thing I read, it didn't mention Frankenstein. It just mentioned Bride of Frankenstein. I thought, what a strange thing to go with the sequel first.
That guy's in Pirates of the Caribbean, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a bad guy?
He's in the new one, yeah. So is there a list of movies that they want to do?
I don't know if there's a list of movies, but they have a list of the cast.
Because the time said the first one will be The Mummy, and the second one will be Bride of Frankenstein.
The Mummy with Tom Cruise?
That's part of their monsterverse, yeah.
Yeah, she is, which that's not a good sign.
Yeah, it's not. Although Russell Crowe is in there playing Dr. Jekyll, right? So
what?
Yeah, he's Dr. Jekyll.
He's obviously going to be... Because they're going to all interact like the Marvel Universe, evidently.
God. They need to stop.
Where was it?
This could be terrible, except Bill Condon is a hell of a director, so it could be all right for that.
It's going to ride a fine line between pretty good and really, really bad.
I can't imagine he'd do something as crappy as Van Helsing, you know what I mean? The last time they tried that sort of all the monsters know each other, and they're all going to get together and have an adventure, that was awful, and you just can't imagine that this
I
is
enjoy it.
There's Renee. Renee just got in his hands buzz. He looks great.
Yeah.
He looks sharp.
Mamacita.
It's Renee's twin brother.
I know Johnny Depp's supposed to be part of their MonsterVerse.
Oh, no.
The Invisible Man. Yeah, the Invisible... Who... Frankenstein was...
Javier Bardem, right?
Bardem, yeah.
And then Mr. Morton was who? Do you remember?
Mr. Morton?
The salt guy?
He's some character.
Morton.
Mr. Morton? What the hell's that? Oh, the salt
he's
guy.
In there. He's in there.
Now I get it. He's got the umbrella and the raincoat.
Heard place. About Morton, too. Morton Hears a Who is going to be in it.
Oh, I gotta find it. There was a list of them.
I'd love
so
to
it,
see
it
that
sounds Bride of Frankenstein is first, and then they have Invisible Man, Wolf Man, Van Helsing, and Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, Van Helsing.
Van Helsing.
Yep.
He's like the Nick Fury, apparently. He's the bridge.
So he'll be in all of them.
Yeah. I like those Monster Hunter esque.
Why are they doing
it's
a Van
the
Helsing
Dark
movie?
Universe? There it is.
They want to reboot it because it's a good... Because you have... He's like a bridge. He can be in everything.
I feel like they should reboot
it. That was the idea, but it didn't work. It was so awful they didn't do it in a second one.
Russell Crowe is the dad of Superman.
Okay, so... True. So,
that's right. He's Kal-El Jor-El.
I'm
he's
confused.
Jor-El.
Russell Crowe is Henry Jekyll.
Yes.
Javier Bardem Russell is Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, Tom Cruise is Nick Morton. That's
who's
his name.
The Soldier of Fortune. Johnny Depp is the Invisible Man, and Sofia Boutella is...
Johnny Depp?
The Mummy. Yeah.
Well, at least you don't have to look at him.
You know, yeah. They should have gone with. I like Johnny Depp, but they should have gone with somebody else for
yeah,
the character.
He's just it's.
Or they could have taken a page out of the 30s and went with an unknown actor
or,
with a great voice.
You know,
or just invisible. I mean,
Kevin. Yeah, Bacon.
You know who would be a great Invisible Man?
Kevin Bacon.
No, you need somebody British.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Exactly. Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch uh-huh. would have been yep. perfect.
Yeah. Because he can play malevolent. Yeah.
Even the moon is afraid of me.
He was
awesome as Smoke.
Yeah. Why did I have him?
So,
Johnny
there's that. So,
Depp.
I don't know how it's going to be. I'm kind of worried about it.
Johnny Depp doing an accent. What will they think of next?
The Mummy, that movie is segueing into this. I'm just like, no, it's going to be terrible.
I'm not going to watch The Mummy.
If it'll be like Van Helsing. If the first one's crappy,
or
what do they do with the next five?
Yeah.
Who else wants to see Tom Cruise running?
I saw that. That was awful.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see Tom Cruise running in this one. He's going to be running towards the mummy.
He's sure
running away from the mummy.
From
the
sides.
In the trailer, he's running from every which
falling.
Direction.
Why does
Tom Cruise falling?
Why does he have to be in a mummy movie?
I don't know.
Why do you need him in a mummy movie?
I think we need to bring back What's-His-Face.
Because nobody cares about the mummy. And so you need
Brendan
to have...
Fraser?
Well,
we need some
that,
Brendan
but
Fraser.
But that last reboot was huge. With Brendan Fraser?
I still do not understand that.
We need Brendan Fraser. He could have been the invisible guy.
And then the other big thing in movie news is what's his face has stepped.
What are you, movie news reporter?
We were on the same topic.
Go ahead.
This just in.
What's his name? I'm really bad at movie news if I can't remember his name.
This is Movie Live.
I'm tying.
Joss Whedon is taking over. Justice League for Zachary
Josh
Snyder.
Feeton.
Really?
Well, he...
It's bad. Bad terms.
What?
Well, Zack Snyder's daughter killed herself.
Yes.
Whoa.
So
when did that happen?
Just recently.
And so he's only taking over post-production and doing reshoots. The movie's already done.
That's terrible.
Yeah, so
yeah he's only
not,
doing...
It's not like it's going to be a brand new movie.
Yeah, so any it's of you hoping for...
Editing.
Joss Whedon
people,
to come
like,
in.
Yeah,
and,
great. Joss Whedon's going to be doing Justice League. He was like, it's still a Zack Snyder.
That's kind of cool
film.
Of him to step in and help.
Yeah.
It's also an FU to Marvel after he said he would never do another Avengers.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Why did he say that?
Because he doesn't want to do it. He was soured on the Avengers.
He was?
Yeah. He didn't like doing.
You mean the Ultron?
The Ultron, yeah. He didn't want to do it.
What went wrong?
He was quoted in saying afterwards that it was a bad experience because Marvel was. They wanted it done their way, and he didn't have a lot of control.
Oh,
I thought it was interesting that he decided to... I don't know if that's why. He was probably just being a nice guy, but I thought that threw a weird undertone.
So, but yeah, he's only going to be doing post-production stuff, so it's not like it's going to be a different movie.
Zack Snyder had planned to go back and do some reshoots and get kind of reshoot some stuff, but he's not going to do it after all because his daughter, unfortunately, committed suicide. I don't know how.
Wow. It was in March, though.
Yeah.
It's how terrible. Old is his daughter?
I don't know.
That's awful.
But why are you annoyed with Justine?
Huh? What?
Why are you annoyed with Justine?
I'm not.
Oh, Joss Whedon was recently tapped to direct Batgirl.
Yes.
See, that's the guy you need to do.
But, yes. So that's like a whole movie, which I think would be great.
And he was supposed to do Wonder Woman like 3 years
ago. And is this like
the
rebirth Batgirl?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Because I like her leather jacket.
Anywho.
You just wanted it in there because she has a nice leather jacket.
Make sure she's wearing
She was 20 years old.
Wow.
Oh, no.
And they had kept it private. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, the film is still due to be released November 17th. So. Yeah. I mean, we obviously we have our issues with Zack Snyder on the show, but I mean, those are horrible circumstances, absolutely. Obviously. So hopefully, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we all want the movie to be good.
Yeah.
No
comic book nerd wants the movie to be bad.
It can't hurt that Joss Whedon's going to be in any capacity going to be involved.
Yeah, you never know.
And that's cool of him to step in there and help, because probably it's because he's one of the few people who knows what it takes to pull off an ensemble movie.
Exactly.
Who else can do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that says a lot for him. You can imagine.
That couldn't have been an easy decision ever.
Mm-mm. And you wonder if somebody called him or if he volunteered or...
Yeah. I don't know. But he did say in Vanity Fair in May of 2015 that his battle with Marvel got really unpleasant. Mm. And he is done with Marvel.
Well, it's funny because there's a pattern there, obviously, because Edgar Wright had this similar experience with Ant-Man, where they want it to fit into a puzzle piece situation. They got their own way of it fitting in with 20 other movies, and if you don't go their way, you're out. So with somebody who's got a lot of talent and... their own brain, you know. It's and also somebody who's not just starting out. That's why they go with a lot of first-time directors, because they can kind of use that to say, okay, you're going to do exactly as we say, you know.
Yeah. They can just tie it into the multiverse, though. I don't know why they're forcing it to be a part of the same universe.
The Marvel universe?
Yeah, because there's like this huge spanning multiverse. I don't know why they don't just tie it into that.
Marketing.
I think what's his name? Kevin Feige.
If they really want,
yeah,
he's Kevin got. Feige. I mean, he's got the flow chart in front of him. Everything has to fit. All 25 movies have to fit exactly. Uh-huh. It's worked so far. They haven't really had a dud yet, right? That's really
well. There have been movies that have been less successful or made less money.
But that's quite a streak. You haven't had like a stinker, you know, like Elektra or Ghost Rider, where you're like, ugh.
What Nicholas, the hell? God,
I would
Cage.
Say Age of Ultron is probably my least favorite of all of them.
I enjoyed that.
Thor: Dark World was probably the least grossing one.
Maybe.
And the Hulk movie, I think.
I like
Hulk movie's not part of the.
The second Hulk movie is with Edward Norton. That is part of the multiverse.
Not for this one, no.
Yeah, it is.
It's not part of this arc, but it's part of it's part of the Marvel multiverse.
Yeah.
The second one with
Edward
Norton.
When you go on the site, it lists it. Not the Ang Lee one, but the one with Edward Norton. Because it came out like right after the first Iron Man, and they were tying in. They're starting to tie in.
Yeah, because the general from that one is in.
True.
Yeah.
So general it's Ross. Part of the, there's like 18 movies now, and it's that second Hulk movie is part of it. But yeah, we're down to like part 3 of that multiverse now, which will be the Black Panther movie, Infinity Wars.
Black Panther, Thor Ragnarok.
And Guardians 3.
Guardians 3.
We're going over to Box Office Mojo. So the Avengers is number one. Avengers.
This is money making.
623.
Yeah, that was huge.
Hell. Million. Avengers Age of Ultron, 459.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man 3, 409.
Wow.
Civil War, 408.
What happened in Iron Man 3?
Remember, his suit doesn't work?
The Mandarin.
That's right. Yeah, Mandarin that was oranges. A good one.
That's when he's in the street, like at the neighborhood with the boy.
Yeah, and he's got to kind of cobble stuff together because he doesn't have the suit.
So then what's Iron Man 2?
Iron Man 2 Whiplash. Is the one with all of with Sam Rockwell.
Whiplash.
Where
Whiplash.
Like all of the, there's like an army of the robots at the end. They're like destroying.
And Mickey Rourke is Whiplash, right?
I was bummed about the Mandarin.
Still bummed about the Mandarin.
Mandarin Orange.
I actually like that twist. What did he just say?
You missed the mute. You missed the mute button.
What did you just say?
Did you really say Mandarin Orange?
Yeah.
Mario rips the button out of the.
Honest to God. Honest to God. Step it up.
Just
that is not going to fly.
Just let it burn.
Mario's all. We are professionals here.
Mandarin Orange.
Professional Youngmeisters.
Yeah.
As he's throwing out dad jokes all day. contextual humor.
So what's the number five money maker?
Guardians of the Galaxy. Here we see a significant drop. Civil War, $408 million. Guardians of the Galaxy, $333
million.
Whoa. Iron Man, $318 million. Iron Man 2, $312 million. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which is still working its way up, $304 million. Mm-hmm. Winter Soldier, $259 million. Doctor Strange, $232 million. Thor, Dark World, $206
million. Really? That's not the bottom.
The original Thor, $181 million. Ant-Man, $180 million.
Ant-Man gets a bad rap. That was a great movie.
I loved it.
Captain America First Avenger, $176 million. So what, and the lowest
is the Hulk movie.
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
$134 million.
You know, they're doing another Ant-Man with it's going to be Ant-Man and the Wasp.
What's your
Justine,
problem?
Why are you laughing?
I'll tell you later. They're dad jokes. They're hilarious.
You're finding dad jokes?
Okay.
Can you share one, please?
Yeah. Have you heard about the new corduroy pillow?
No.
It's making headlines.
God.
Okay, what's Forrest Gump's password for everything? One Forrest One.
Oh, God.
Okay, whoa. Here's one.
He's hawking pieces of lung out.
Every time a bug hit the windshield, my dad would say, "He'll never have the guts to do that again." Every time I stub my toe, my dad always says, "Better call a tow truck."
Oh my God.
That's dumb.
That one's stupid.
Okay. All right. Just now.
Oh my God, I mean,
feel free to blurt them out when you find them.
Oh my God.
What is it?
One time my dad walked up to a Samsung security guard and asked, "Are you Guardian of the Galaxy?"
Just bad.
Who started it?
It's me.
I can't.
We need to step up our dad jokes game. That's like,
good night, everybody. Wow.
I asked a French guy if he owned a game console. He said, "We."
PlayStation.
Go. Go.
One more.
Got another one?
One more.
That one's kind of cheesy, but I mean, they're always cheesy. Hold on.
That's it?
That's it. She's checked out.
I come up with mine off the top of my
head. Good night, folks.
They're not always good.
Well, that's the way to...
Not always good.
That's the way to end the show.
Kind of fun.
Bye.
How do you say hello to a slice of cheddar?
How?
Choose to meet you.
What do you call... Jesse, what do you call a nosy pepper?
What?
Jalapeno business.
You said that joke before. I've heard that before.
You need some new material.
What does Batman get in his drinks?
I give up.
Just ice. Justice.
I see.
Oh my God. Did you hear about the man who stole a calendar? He got 12 months.
Dad joke.
What's up?
My dad would wait for the elevator door to close, and then he'd say, "You're probably wondering why I'm calling this meeting."
Boo.
That's dumb.
Yeah, I ate too much Middle Eastern food.
What's the punchline?
Now I falafel. All right, you guys. We can't top that, so let's not even try.
Good night, folks.
Justine, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
Jake, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
Patrick, thank you for being here today.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Do one more. Look at Justine's face.
No,
do one more.
Do it.
No, hold on.
Do it.
Go ahead.
Do it.
John, thank you for being here today.
Darn tootin'.
And thank myself for being here today.
Mario, thanks for being here.
So until next time, we always say, how do we close the show, guys?
How do we?
We say, fight the power, and this transmission ends now.
When?
keep your hands off the glowing orb.